Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. During our previous shiur, we saw a mishnah, the lower part of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, that made a contrast between Kovash Olov L'Soch HaMayim versus Dochvo L'Soch HaMayim. Kovash Olov was a situation where one restrained a victim from getting out of the water and eventually drowning as a result, as opposed to someone who initially pushes someone into the water but does not restrain him from getting out. In our sugya on Daf Ayin Zayin, we will be picking up the Gemara a few lines from the top. One will notice a series of triangles. The Nosei Mivneh topic heading and structural note that we feature in the outside margin features the diamond, and it says, Dugmois Shoinois, different examples, Shel Kovash Olov Umeis, where there was a person or a victim was restrained and eventually died. Yesh Shepotur V'yesh Shechayev. Some of the cases will result in the perpetrator being found guilty, and some of them he will be innocent. Omar Rova, Kofsoi Umeis Barov. If someone bound someone else up and the victim died as a result of starvation, Potter, the one who tied him up, is exempt, is not guilty of death by the court. Let us glance at Rashi. Kofsoi Umeis Barov. At the point that he was tied up, there was no element of murder. The famine, which eventually is what kills him, is something that grows in time. The famine increases, the state of hunger increases with time. The lo domi, and it's not parallel. This is not the same thing as letzimtzem b'mayim uba'ur, where someone was restrained in the water, or in other words, someone was restrained and his head was forced to remain below the water level, below the surface of the water. And uba'ur, the case of someone kept in a fire, held back and burnt in a fire. Dahahurig mizuman, the element that eventually kills him, whether it be the water or the fire, is there at the time that the perpetrator is restraining the victim. The famine is not there at the time that the perpetrator is tying up the victim in our case. Continuing in the Gemara, v'yomarova, kofso, a perpetrator tied up a victim. We'll have here a few cases under this heading, hence we have a colon. The first, we have Roman numeral number 1, will deal with situations where the meteorological elements, the climate elements, are present. Bachama, he is tied up in the sun, Mues, and dies as a result of the exposure to the sun. Or a case of Betsina Umeis, someone is tied up in a situation of intense cold, and the person dies. Chayav, the perpetrator, the one who tied him up in the sun or tied him up in the intense cold, is guilty. However, Roman numeral number 2, again with two cases, where someone was tied up, Soif Chamo Lavoi. He was tied up and it was, let us say, it was still dark outside, the sun hadn't even risen yet. Or he was tied up in a reasonable climactic situation, and Soif Tzina Lavo, the cold came later on. Potter, the perpetrator here is Potter. And the reason is, as we alluded to before, the Horeg, the element that killed him, was not there at the time he was being tied up. Continuing in the Gemara, Fiomar Rova, Kofsoi, a person was tied up, Lifnei Ari, in front of a lion, which eventually ate the victim. Potter, the one who ties him up is exempt. Lifnei Yitushin Chayav, if someone was tied up in the presence of these insects that sting, the person who tied him up is guilty. That's the first opinion. Rav Ashi Omar, Afilu Lifnei Yitushin Nami Potter, even where someone tied him up, tied up the victim in the presence of these stinging insects, nevertheless, the one who ties him up is Potter, because Hani Asli, the ones that were present, the insects that were present at the time he was tied up, they departed. Vahani Osu, those that eventually are responsible for his death, came later on. So following the principle we saw before, the element that killed him wasn't there at the time he was being tied up. Rashi explains, in the case of someone tied up in front of a lion, the one who ties him up is Potter. Rashi explains, because even without being tied up, that victim would not have been able to contend with the lion anyway. However, according to the first opinion, the one who was tied up in front of the Yitushin, there, the individual, the victim, could have warded off the insects or escaped the insects, and hence by being tied up, that is what causes his death at the hands of those insects. Itmar, the Gemara continues, Kofa olov gigis, a person, a perpetrator, covered someone with a barrel, and the victim died through what is termed hevel, through a form of heat or possibly suffocation, or upora olov ma'aziva, or a person came along and exposed a roof, uncovered a roof, and the person inside died as a result of exposure to the cold. Rova v'Ravizera, we have two opinions, Chadomar Chayav v'Chadomar Potter. One says that the perpetrator is guilty, and the second opinion is that he is exempt because the element that killed him came only later on, came with time. The Rashi explains, O Shepora Olov Mazifo Vze Hoyo Yoshein, the victim was sleeping when the roof was exposed. Venichnasa Shom Hatsina, and the cold entered this area. Potter, the one who exposed the roof, is exempt. Shehahure Bo the Acharzman, the element that killed him came later on. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us just note the topic heading we've assigned to this Gemara, even though we've already started the sugya. Penose Hahoreg, that which kills, Kaloimar Hatoifa'o Shigrom Hamovis, that element that will cause the death. Aleph Mizuman is there, or Beis Yavoi La'achar Zman. What we've done with the markings, we've used a double underline to emphasize the attempts of the Gemara to assign the name of the Rav that we to the particular opinion that was expressed, because as far as the Gemara was concerned, it stated it in an anonymous fashion, Chad Omar Chayev and Chad Omar Potter, who said what. So with the double underlining, we're emphasizing the attempts of the Gemara to resolve who said what. Testayim de Rova hu de Omar Potter. Let us conclude that Rova is the one that would have said that in the case of the roof being exposed and the victim dying from the cold, Rova would take the position that the perpetrator is exempt from a capital offense. Why? The Omar Rova, because Rova himself said, and we saw this above, Kofsoi Umeis Berov, Potter. And if one has any trouble finding that, one can take advantage of the arrows that we've provided to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, pointing to parallel with the arrow above, where Rava in fact said that. And the parallel being, the famine was not there at the time he was being tied up. And as a result of that, Rava said exempt. So too, over here, Rava will take the position of exemption. Adarabba. The Gemara argues to the contrary. We've squiggle underlined the Adarabba because we use the squiggle underline often to signify points, the point in Gemara's discussion where the elements flip around or switch. So in this case, we switch from Rava being the position of Ptur to Tistayim, the Rabbi Zera, who the Omar Potter. Let us conclude that Rabbi Zera would be the one to assume exemption. Why? The Omar Rabbi Zera. If someone put someone into a room, a sealed room, beiso deshisha, Rashi says, beiso deshisha, shasosum biyoser. It's more very sealed. The ein hevel ha'ur v'haner yochol lotzeis mimenu, and the heat of the of fires and candles can't escape from there. So we have someone put in this sealed room, ve'adlik le'shraga umeis, and someone lit a candle in this sealed room where the oxygen level is very low, and there's no air, there's no circulation there, and the victim died. Chayav, the perpetrator, the one who lit the candle, is guilty of murder. Now, why do we say he's guilty? Taimo de adlik le shroga. It's because he lit the candle. Ha lo adlik le shroga. Had he not lit the candle, lo. Even if the person would have died in the course of time because of hevel piv, his own breath, his own suffocation, that similar to the case of kofa olov gigas, the covering of someone with a barrel, which was one of the cases we are discussing right now, the Rabbi Zera would hold exemption. Rashi points out, ha lo adlik leishroga, umeis behevel piv, and the person in this sealed room died because of his own breath. Dumya de kofa olav gig is similar to the person who was covered by a barrel, someone covered him in a barrel. Potter. The Gemara at this point rejects this analogy. Amri, Hosom, in the case of Beis HaDeshisha, Beloi Shraga, without the candle, Lo Maschil Hevlo Beshaite. At the point that he was put into the room, there was no element of heat that would have been responsible for his suffocation. That came only in the course of time. Hacha, in the case of Kofa Lov Gigis, where the barrel was flipped over on the victim, below shroga, even without a candle, nami maschil hevlo b'shaite, the heat element starts immediately. Rashi at the top, b'shaite, miyad, b'sh'as kfiya, maschil, immediately with the flipping over of the barrel, the heat starts, v'achar kachulech v'chozek, and in the course of time, it just that heat which was there immediately intensifies. So they are not parallel examples, so that as far as Koflov, even though Rabbi Zera might hold there is exemption in the case of the base of the Shisha, that doesn't necessarily mean he would hold exemption in the case of the barrel flipped over on the victim. Simon, Sulam, Tris, Samonim, Bekoiso. These are catchwords for the examples that will be featured in the upcoming Gemara. We have a series, as you can see by the appearance of the triangle marking, one of our series markings. All geometric forms in our Gemara marking system represent some form of series when there's no inherent significance to any one given geometric form. The topic heading and structural note that we've assigned to this sugya, you can see on the outside margin, the triangle is featured. Sidro Shel Mikrim, a series of examples of cases. B'shem, Rava, all of them feature Rava. Shlosha mehem, three of them, doimim lemikre shel dochvo lebor, shohya boy sulam, vesile kasulam, lefnei she speak lalos. They will be three of the upcoming cases will be similar to a tuba case that's featured at the beginning of the series, where someone pushed someone into a bar, This was a case, by the way, of Dachvoi. We saw already in the Mishnah examples of Dachvo. There we saw Dachvo L'socha Mayim. Here we're going to be talking about Dachvo L'socha Bor. And there had been a ladder to get out of the pit, the bor being a pit. Someone was shoved into a pit and there was a ladder there. Vasile Kasulam L'fneshi Spiklalos. And then the ladder was removed before he had a chance to get out. Omar Rava, Dachvo Labor, Vesulam Babor. Someone shoved his friend into a pit with a ladder inside. Ubo Achir Vesilko. And someone else came along and removed the ladder. Viafilu Hu Kidei Vesilko. Even if the one who shoved him in himself then removed the ladder. Potter. The one who removed the ladder, the one who shoved him in, the bor, is exempt. To be idno de shadye, at the point he was shoved into the bor, yochol lalos, who the victim could have exited. Rashi at the top says, at the second line from the top, be idno de shadye, yochol lalos, who upotur al hadchia, and he is exempt for shoving him in. Omishum siluk lo motzis lechuve, and as far as holding him responsible for a capital offense because of removing the ladder, that also we cannot do. We cannot hold him guilty for that. De groma bi'almahu, he is simply causative, and as we know, groma causing something without being directly responsible, but a secondary cause is not capital not guilty of a capital offense. The Omar Rava, Zorak Chait, someone shot an arrow, Utris Biado, and there was a shield in the hands of the victim, Ubo Achir Vinotlo, and after the arrow was in flight, someone else whipped away the shield from the victim. And even if the one who shot the arrow with some act of great haste was able to himself remove the shield, Potter, there is exemption here from any capital offense. At the time that the arrow was shot, Mifsak Paske Gire. Gire are the arrows. Mifsak paske, they were stopped. The arrows would not have killed the individual. At the point they were shot, the victim still had a shield in his possession. V'omar Rava, Zorak bo chetz, v'samonim biyado. Another case of an arrow being shot, and the victim, at the point the arrow was shot, had medicines that could have saved him from death. Ubo achiru pizron, but someone else came, and while the arrow was in flight, or even afterwards, someone else came along and scattered those medicines, and basically prevented him from using them. Vafilu hu kidem upizron, even if the one who shot the arrow himself, with great haste, threw away those medicines. Potter. There is exemption, and why is that? To be idna the shadabay, at the point the arrow was shot, yochol hisrapo ishave, the victim had the power to heal himself. So at the point the arrow was shot, there was not necessarily a situation of death. Omar Rav Ashi Hilkoch, with this in mind, afilu samonim bashuk, even if the victim doesn't have the medicines literally in his hands, but the medicines are available in the market at the point in time that the arrow was shot, the shooter of the arrow will be potter, will be exempt. Rashi Hilkoch Kevon Diim Yesh Shom Samonim Huruyun Raposo Biodo Patrisle, since we've said that if someone who was shot at had in his hands medicines that could have saved him, afilu einom biyado elo shemitsuyin b'shuk, even if they're not actually in his possession but they're available in the market, liknois, to buy, b'sha'as zrika, at the point in time that the arrow was shot, harei elu keilu hein biyado, the medicines that are in the market are viewed as if they are in the victim's hands literally, upoter, and hence the shooter is exempt, v'afilu lo nimsu la'achar mikan, even if afterwards they become unavailable, what all that's important to us is what was the situation at the time the arrow was shot. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar le Rav Acha Brei de Rava the Ravashi, Nizdamnu lo Samonim Mahu. What would be the halacha? What would be the law if at the point the arrow was shot, the medicines were not available, but afterwards, after the makah, after the arrow penetration, medicines became available that could have saved him? Rashi, Nizdamnu lo samonim lamuke, to the one who was hit, who was victimized, achar hamaka, after the actual impact, velo konon, but he did not acquire them, velo ripay atzmo, and he did not heal himself. Mahu, Rashi continues in explaining the question, the two sides of the question basically, are as follows. Mi amrinon hare hoyo yocholis rapos, do we say the fellow could have healed himself? And on that side of things, the shooter will be exempt. Or maybe we don't look at that. We focus simply at the time of shooting. Since at the point of the shooting, the medicines were not available. Because at the time the arrow was shot, it was a shooting that would have certainly led to death. So what is the halacha in such a case? Omar Le, so Rav Ashi answers, Hare Yotso mi Beis Din Zakai. Literally, he escaped, or he exited from the court in innocence. The court is a virtual court. Rashi explains, Hare Yotso mi Beis Din Zakai, Klomar. Hoyo v'koidem omdu bedin. Since before this case would have been brought to justice, we could have found an element of schus, an element of exoneration. Ein lanu l'chaivo. Then it is not upon us to hold to show him as guilty. What's the point of exoneration? Since the victim could have healed himself, that is sufficient reason for exempting the perpetrator. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rava, Zorak Tzror B'Koiso, a person threw a rock toward a wall with the intent of its rebounding off the wall and killing someone. And once again, the throwing of the rock was with intent to kill. He didn't throw it directly at the victim. He threw it at the wall in the hopes of the force of the rebound to kill the victim. And that's what happened here. Zorak Tzor B'Koisel, V'chozra L'Achorei, V'Horga. And it rebounded, ricocheted off the wall, or rebounded off the wall, and killed the victim. Chayov, the thrower of the rock, is guilty. Vitana Tuna, and we have a Tanaic source that says that which Rava basically says, Kagoin Elu Hamasachin Bakadur Shahorgu, like those that play with balls. The analogy to the ball playing is the fact that this ball game involved throwing a ball at a wall and the ball rebounding off. So the Tanaic source goes on to say that in a case like that, where they are throwing things at a wall and expecting the article in its rebound to kill, shehargu, b'mezid neherogin, b'shogeg goylin. If it was done with the intent of killing, so the one who threw the article at the wall will be guilty. And if it's done b'shogeg, if the death was not planned, it was not intended, then there would be golin. Golin is exile to one of the cities of refuge. The Gemara asks about this source. Is it necessary to teach me all of these elements? B'shogeg golin pshita. That if the death took place in an unintended fashion, that there is exile to the city of refuge, that's known, that's obvious.
Why? What's the purpose of teaching this source? So the Gemara answers, "Bemezid neherogin itzdirichle." This source is necessary for that point of information. That when done in a premeditated fashion, there is guilt. There is a capital offense. Now you'll ask, why was that necessary to be taught? Would you have thought otherwise? So mahu detema, one might have thought without having been taught in the source, hasros sufek hi. Mi yemar dehodra. In order to carry out a capital punishment, there has to be a warning to the perpetrator before he does whatever act he does that would result in his execution. So in this case, one might have thought that the quality of the warning is insufficient to constitute a legally binding warning. And why is that? Because there's an element of doubt. One might have thought, the element of doubt being, who says that when thrown at the wall that it's going to rebound? Kamash Malon, that's what this source is telling me, that it's a matter of certainty that when something is, and there is no element of doubt, it's a matter of certainty that when something is hurled with force at a wall, it rebounds, and if there was intent for the victim to die as a result of this projectile rebounding off the wall, that constitutes premeditated murder. And there's no element of doubt that accompanies the hasra, the warning that is given to the perpetrator before he hurled the object at the wall. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Maravo Kameh Rebbe Avo. Rav Tachlifa teaches in the presence of Rabbi Avo the following Tanaic source. Kagon Elu Hamasachakin Bekadur Shehargu. Like those who play with balls, namely they hurl projectiles at walls, like they do in the ball game with the intent of it rebounding. Toch Arba Amos Potter. If the victim was within 4 amos, then the thrower is exempt. As far as the exemption, what exemption from what? So the first Lashon in Rashi says exemption from exile. And the second Lashon in Rashi means exemption from a capital offense. The two Pshatim are not exclusive of one another. Simply the second Lashon in Rashi that discusses Ptur and Chiyuv from death is working on the assumption that there was a warning beforehand. So the first example of the victim being within 4 amos, we say potter, and chutz la'arba amos, if the victim was outside, was beyond 4 amos from the wall, then chayav, then the one who hurled the projectile will be guilty if the death was unintended, so then he'll be guilty of golus. If it was with the intent of murder, then he'll be guilty of a capital offense and have to suffer capital punishment. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi Hechi Dami. Ravina wants to know, what are the circumstances behind this source? I dekoni chale, if the one who's hurling the item at the wall is happy with the fact that the item rebounded off the wall, then afilu portanami, even less than 4 amas, there should be guilt. E delo nichole, if he's not happy with the rebounding, he didn't want it to rebound off the wall. He wanted to wanted the object to stick on the wall or to land in some crevice and not rebound. Then afilu tuva nami lo, even if it's more than 4 amas, even if it's a long way away from the wall, there should be no guilt. Omar lei, so Rav Ashi answers, stam misachakin bekadur. The standard people playing this game, kamo de azli minei meinach nichole. The further it goes, the happier, the more satisfied he is. We should add one point here, that in the event that the rebounding is less than 4 amos, then there is no fulfillment of the thrower's intention. And as a result of that, even if the death was b'shogeg, there still would be no golus. Because in the event of golus, when we talk about unintentional death, we can say that the act that was done was intentional. Simply the death that resulted was unintentional. However, where the act itself or the results of the act itself were not intended, then there's a gzeres hakosov that says that in such a case, when a death results, even though the death was shogeg, there is an exemption from going to the ir miklat. As we go on in the Gemara, Gemara is going to analyze this whole issue of, is it so that rebounding is considered the force, a primary force of the perpetrator? Up till now, that is what we've been arguing, that the rebounding force is the same thing as direct force, as if the projectile was thrown directly at the victim. We're going to raise objections from two Tanaic sources as we go on in the Gemara that seem to indicate that a ricocheting of force or rebounding force is considered of a secondary nature and not, and then hence cannot be associated with a direct force of the perpetrator. And if it's not direct, then that we cannot hold the perpetrator guilty of a capital offense. So the Gemara asks, before we go on, actually, we should just note the topic heading and the structural note that accompanies this sugya. The topic heading is Nosei Hazorek Kadur Lekoiso, the Chozer HaKadur Vahoreg Odom, someone who hurls a ball at a wall and the ball rebounds and kills someone. Chayav, the one who threw the ball, is guilty. Vezeh Nechshav Kocho, and that's considered his direct force. Once again, that the rebounding is considered his direct force. Mivneh, we have a structural note featuring a house form, another geometric form to indicate a new series. Kushos al yisoid hanal. These will be questions on the principle that was just presented. So the Gemara goes on. Viromini, we raise an objection from the following source. The topic of the following source has to do with the Mei Pora Aduma, the waters that were prepared together with the ash of the burnt red cow, the Pora Aduma. The ashes were added after the red cow, the Pora Aduma, was burnt. Its ashes were taken and added to water that was drawn from a live spring. Hamekadesh v'nofal kiddush al yodoi oy al hatzad v'acharkach nofal v'shoikes pasul. If someone was adding ashes to the water from the live spring, but he didn't put the ashes directly into the water. As he was putting the ashes, the ashes hit his hand, and or it hit the side of the vessel. And afterwards, ve'achar kach nofa, we've dashed underlined that because this is the rebounding effect. It then fell into the shokas. The shokas is the name of the vessel that holds the water for this ceremony, for this procedure. Pusel, the kiddush here, preparation of this water is ineffective. The Torah expects there to be direct human force involved in the placing of the ashes directly into the water. Here, the ashes were not placed directly into the water. They rebounded off his hand and then fell into the water, or they rebounded off the side of the vessel and then and into the water. We see from this that the rebounding force is not considered direct force. And that is, of course, what we're assuming to be as a result of translating nofal as rebounding off. Let us glance in the Rashi. Under the Gemara, there's an asterisk written in a star with a circle around it, and we want to just read that section of the Rashi, approximately four lines under the Gemara text. because salka daitoch dahai nofal, the assumption is that the word nofal that appears dikotoni appears in this Tanaic source. Kegoin shenofal al yodoi bekoyach oy al hatzad, that it fell with force on his hand, and with, as a result of that force, it then rebounded off his hand into the water. Kloimer al tzad akli, or the ashes hit the side of the vessel with a force. Umishom nitaz bekoyach l'shekes, and from the side it then bounded off the wall of the vessel into the water. Bekotani deposel, and the source says that that's not considered as if he were putting the ashes in. The Gemara rejects this as an objection, explaining Hochal b'mayaskinon, here what is the point under discussion. B'shoises, the falling of the ash is happening through the force of gravity, as opposed to the active force of rebounding. B'shoises, Rashi explains, loy nitaz mikoyach nefila rishona, it's not as if it rebounded by virtue of the first impact. Hello, me atzmoi chozar v'shosas miyodo l'shoikes. It rather, on its own, it fell from the side of the vessel or from his hand into the water. The Rashi says that the word, he goes on to explain the word shoses, meaning something that dribbles down, that falls on its own downward. The point is, and we'll just emphasize this once again, the Havamina in raising the question was based on interpreting the word nofal as meaning falling as a result of a forceful rebounding, and the Gemara's rejection of the question, or answer, if you will, is by reinterpreting nofal simply mean fall in a passive sense by the force of gravity alone. Toshma. We have another source. This source is in the realm of Tumas Kelim. A machat is featured here, a needle, a metal needle, is makabel tuma. In this case, we have a metal needle that was tome tumas mace. In order to get out of tumas mace, the article has to receive a sprinkling of the mei pora aduma, of the water prepared with the ashes of the red cow. In order for the the purification to be achieved, the water has to be sprinkled by force onto whatever needs the purification. Machat shehoya nesuno al hacheres. There was a needle that was tomei mace that was lying on a piece of earthenware. Vihiza aleha, and the person sprinkled on the in the direction of the needle, with the intention of being mitayered from the intention of purifying it from tumas meis. Sofek al hamachat hiza, sofek al acheres hiza, umitza aleha haza also. An element of doubt arose in this case. Did the sprinkling land directly on the needle, or was the sprinkling done onto the cheres, onto the piece of earthenware, and it rebounded off of the earthenware onto the needle? That's the second suffix. Posel, the tara here is not effective. It's posel. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Umitza aleha, klomar, umin hacheres chozra venitza aleha, and from the piece of earthenware it rebounded and landed. The water landed as a result of that on the needle. The katani psula, and we see from here that this is not an effective way of achieving tahara, of achieving purification. Alma lav koichoihi, from the fact that in this case, it would not be considered a legitimate sprinkling, we see that it's not considered his direct force. The Gemara rejects this question as well. Omar Rav Chinino Bar Yehuda Mishmei de Rav Motsa Itmar. The word Mitsa in the source is not a word indicating rebounding off of something, but rather found. And as far as the source is concerned, the water was either, the suffix was, the water was either sprinkled directly on the needle, or the water was simply found on the needle as a result of it dripping off of the cheres. Not rebounding off the cheres, but dripping off the cheres. Or it having flowed off the cheres because the cheres, the piece of earthenware, the shard was on an incline and forming a sort of a ramp, allowing the water to flow down from the cheres onto the needle. But the main thing for our discussion is to understand that instead of interpreting mitza as rebounding off of, we're explaining it to mean mitza, it was found upon, the water was found upon the needle as a result of the water simply flowing off of the cheres onto the needle, but not rebounding. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We have a diamond featured here. And the diamond is going to represent what's explained on the side, Nosei Mivne, Memros Shorav Popo, comments of Rav Popo, Beinyan Kocho, regarding the issue of force. Omar Rav Popo, Haiman de Kafte de Chavre, someone who tied up his fellow man, the Ashkil Ole Bidko de Maya, and then caused a force of water to inundate and to drown this tied up victim. Giri dide hu. The force of the water is considered his arrows. It's considered as if the one who tied him up and redirected a flow of water as if he shot arrows at the victim. Umechayev, and as a result of that, there is a capital offense. Hani mili bekoyach rishon. That's provided that the waters that drowned this person was as a result of the initial flow, the first force. Avo bekoyach sheni groma bi'alma hu. If the person was tied up a bit downstream from where the waters eventually got to him, the perpetrator will be found exempt. Let us see Rashi on this particular Gemara, B'koyach Rishon, K'shepino Lohem Derech Litzadzen, when he redirected the flow of these waters, the waters were originally found in a river channel, and he redirected the flow of these river of these waters to drown the victim. So if the waters that drowned him were Miyad Noflu Olav, immediately drowned him, Tahavi Kocho. In other words, at the point at which the waters were redirected, the flow was changed, they immediately drowned this guy who was tied up. Rashi goes on, Apo Bekoyach Sheni, Shenicho Rochei Ktsas. The person who tied up the victim placed him at a bit of a distance from where the force of the water flow was redirected. Below Noflu Hamayim Miyad Betseso Migidresan, and the water did not drown this individual immediately at the point they left their original channel. Elo Liachar Mikan Hochu Al Hamokim Shusham. Rather, the waters eventually got to where this guy was tied up. Gromahu, the fact that the victim died, what is considered a simple groma on the part of the perpetrator. Volomi kocho, the waters that drowned him are not considered an original force from the an original force of the person who redirected the flow. Continuing in the Gemara, V'yomar of Papa, Zorak Tzror Lamala, V'holcha Litzdadin. A person threw a rock upwards, and the rock curved over and went to his side, V'harga, and killed someone off to the side, Chayav. That would be considered an act of murder. Omale mor Rav Ashi l'Rav Popo mai taimo. Why is it? Why is this considered chayav? Mishum de kochohu. Because it's his force. He threw the rock, and the throwing of the rock was the force of the thrower, and hence the one who threw it is guilty. The question, I koichai, if it's considered his strength, his force, so tesil li'el, the rock should be, the projectile should continue going upwards. The Rashi says, tesil li'el, the ho klape malo zorka, kenegdo, velo litzdoden. It should have gone directly up and not off to the sides. V'i lav koichai hu, and if it's not a function of his strength, of his koyach, then tezel l'tachas. The rock should have, or the projectile should have, fallen directly downwards and not gone off to the sides. How then are we to categorize this throwing and eventually it landing off to the side? Elo koyach kochush hu. It's his direct strength, but of a weakened nature. Rashi says, Elo koyach kochush hu, eno kocho chazak. It's not his force with strength. Alexas kocho yeshkan, but part of his force is here. V'hai delo ozlo li'el, and that which it did not go directly above. V'mei shekola koyach chizik hazrika, the force of the initial throw ended. V'even chizeres la'aretz, and as a result of his force that was responsible for its movement upwards ended, hence it's going to return groundwards. Aval adayin hoyleches hi mimiktsas kocho. However, as it's falling downwards and traveling to the side, it's traveling with, as a result of some of his initial strength, initial force that was applied to the projectile. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.